How are y'all doing this morning? And I'm not on, am I? No, I'm not on yet. Hang on just a second.
We've got some folks that's trying to learn the soundboard, and so praise God, we'll have more than one person knows how to work the thing. How was y'all's week this week? Has everybody had a blessed week? I tell you, I have. I feel like, you ever been on a horse and you somehow or another you lost the reins? You stepped in a hole and the reins got jerked away from you and you're just riding wide open. That's the way I feel like this week has been for me. I've been running wide open, totally trusting to the Lord, because we got a contract on our house. We're selling and moving closer to Cossey. Praise God. God is good. It's just the blessings like that that just kind of overwhelms those of us who trust totally in the Lord. I got a question for you this morning. What motivates you to get up in the morning? Huh? What motivates you to get started in the morning? Was it the excitement that today? How about today? Was it excitement because it was the Lord's day? Woo! Or did your wife say, "Get up, it's time to go to church"? Kind of kicked you in the boot. Or did the husband say, "We're going," and the wife goes, "Oh, again? We got to be with those folks again? Man." Thank you. Did your parent make you come? Whatever it is, what motivates you to get up and face another day? Maybe it's your job. Maybe you're looking at your job and going, you know, I like to eat. So I'm motivated to get up and to make some money so that I can feed me and my family or my wife. Whatever it is, you know, what motivates you to do what you do every day? I have to confess, for many years, mine was making money. It wasn't a lot of money. I was just like you. I was just, most of the time, just barely getting by. But what motivated me to get up was because I had a wife and kids that I had to support. And they liked to eat too. And they needed shoes and clothes and things. And I felt like I did too. So I worked. That's what got me up at 4:35 every morning and hit the road. I have to confess, it wasn't because the Lord motivated me during those years. Though I called myself a Christian, and I was a Christian, but I wasn't serving like I should. I wasn't doing what I should be doing as one of God's servant. I hadn't totally transferred my reins of my life over to Him. I was still doing the directing. I was still punching the spurs and moving where I wanted to go. It wasn't for the Lord. I didn't let Him direct me. I was what you'd call self-sufficient. I was a self-sufficient Christian. I felt like the only time I really went to the Lord is when I couldn't handle it. When it got ugly and it got bad and it got messy and sticky. Then I was, Lord, help. You know, help me. Now I need some help. Didn't need you before, but now I need your help. I'm in a mess. You know, but God, He was so gracious to me. Even though I didn't serve Him like I should, even though I didn't talk to Him like I should, He still answered my prayer. Isn't that something? He still was gracious enough and said, "I'm going to honor, because you are one of mine. You're one of my children, and I love you." You know, our kids do stuff all the time, don't they? Those that's got little kids, sometimes they're just little angels, you know. Sometimes they're stinkers. But you love them. Even when they do things wrong and you correct them, you don't go, "From now on, I'm not going to do anything for you. You've been bad. I'm not going to feed you by cracky. I'm not going to buy you no clothes." Who's going to take care of you, son? Who's going to take care of you, daughter? No, we don't do that. We automatically love them and bring them back. We forgive and we forget. We don't have selective memory. We absolutely forget what they've done. In Proverbs 16:2, it says this, "People may be pure in their own eyes, but the Lord examines their motives." For many years, I could fool people with my outside. They could look at me and say, you know, I'd say, I'm a Christian. Even with the guys that I worked with daily, they knew I was a Christian. Now, they knew there were some things that they didn't do around me or ask me to do. But still, they didn't know the real decay that was going on inside me. If they could have saw, you know, inside me, they would have had a total different picture of who Lynn Kemp really was. God looks inside our hearts and sees why we do what we do. For sure. He knows why we do it. In Peter 4, 7 through 8, it says this, "The end of the world is coming soon. Therefore, be earnest and disciplined in your prayers. Most of all, continue to show deep love for each other, for love covers a multitude of sins. Because of love, we overlook each other's sins and forgive each other, don't we?" Just because of love. It says that love covers a multitude of sins. I had to think about that for a while. I got to thinking, well, love can't really forgive sins, can it? Why does God forgive us of our sins when we ask for it? Yeah, because he loves us. When someone that is close to you, and I'm talking about close to you, a close friend or a brother or sister in Christ, and they do something to hurt you, if you love them, what happens? Love overshadows what they did, and you forgive them. Isn't that the way it works? You love them, so you forget about what they did. You say, I forgive you, and then you forget about it, and you move on. You're still friends. That's what it means by it covers a multitude of sins. As brothers and sisters in Christ, I know we're all perfect, right? No? Well, the most of us are perfect, right? Yeah. Woo! Yeah, most of us are. But the rest of us who are stinkers, you know, we need a lot of love to cover up the things that we do to each other, don't we? Thank God for forgiveness, because I'm a walking, stumbling person that always making mistakes. I say the wrong thing at the wrong time. I do things all the time. But thank God y'all forgive me. If you didn't, I'd be out on the street, wouldn't I? I wouldn't be up here in this pulpit. Forgiveness covers a multitude of sins. In Hebrews 10:24, it says it like this, "Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. Let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do." Ew, boy, that one stuck. "Especially now that the day of his return is drawing near." You know, When you're in a roping pen, let's just use this for analogy this morning. You know, if you're in there and you're not roping so hot that night, a true brother would look at you and go, you know, you're a better rope. You're just in a slump. Everything, this next one you're going to catch. Everything's fine. You're just doing this a little wrong. You're dropping your elbow, da-da-da-da-da. You're not riding your horse. You're not doing this. But this next time you're going to catch. I just know you are, because you're better than that. Boom, you come out of the box, slick horn, dally, and you turn. Now, what made the difference? Love and encouragement. That person motivated you to be better. That person motivated you through love and said, you know, you can do this. This is not your first tear you've ever wrote. This is not your first rodeo. This is not the first thing you've gone through in your life. You've been through hard times before, and you're going to get through this too. Encouragement, loving each other enough to tell each other what they need to hear. In love, Jesus asked, what were the most important commandments? He was asked of him, what was the most important commandments in the law of Moses? And his response was this, out of Matthew 22:37-40. He said, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind. This is the first and the greatest commandment. He's saying, first, we've got to love God with everything we have. We can't hold anything back. He is the one who made us. He's the one that loves us and takes care of us completely. He said, that's the first thing you got to do is love him with everything you got. Jesus said, a second is equally important. This, he says, love your neighbors as yourself. The entire law and all the commandments of the prophets are based on these two commandments. You know, four times in Matthew alone, Jesus makes this statement that we love our neighbors as ourselves. So I got to thinking, well, how much do I really love myself? How much do you love yourself? Any thoughts? I had to think about it for quite a while. For a long time, I was a selfish person because I thought of me. Yeah, I had a family, but I always thought of myself first. Even though my family, I said, my family comes first. No, in reality, it was me. I always made sure I had what I wanted. I know a fellow one time, a dear brother in Christ, and it always amazed me that he always made sure that he drove the most beautiful double cab one-ton dually that you ever saw with every frill bell and whistle, and his wife drove a piece of junk. Broke down every day going to work. That changed my idea because I prayed about it, and I had hard feelings a little bit against my brother. And I said, Lord, I said, man, that guy's not doing his wife right, is he? He's putting himself first. You know what he told me? You do the same thing. And he started listing the things that I did. Whew. Talk about a kick in the teeth. It hurt to hear it. But I did listen. How much do you really love yourself? You know, we always look out for our own interests, don't we? We make sure that we get something to eat, even when someone else doesn't get something to eat. We make sure that food goes in our mouth, that we get a drink, something to drink. But we're supposed to love each other, y'all, like we love ourselves, and put others first. Wow. Jesus wanted to make sure that we loved our neighbors more than we loved ourselves. Do you love your next door neighbor? I can remember some folks I've lived next to, and they were just not lovable. They weren't likable. I didn't like them. But I have learned to love them. But it's not just talking about your next door neighbor, is it? It's talking about all your neighbors, everyone around you, your community, that you love each other like you love yourself. Jesus said it another like this. It says, I am giving you a new commandment to love each other just as I've loved you. You should love each other. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you're my disciples. How does the United States of America, if you want to call that our world, how do they know you're a Christian? It's not because you're sitting in this barn, is it, that we call a church? It's not because you tithe to the church or you give offerings to the church or you profess with your mouth that you're a member of that church. The world has to see one thing. They have to see love, because they know what love looks like. And when they see you loving other people more than you love yourself, the first thing they think of is, man, they must be a Christian. They're one of those wacko people. Those crazy Jesus freaks. Yeah. One of them cowboys that puts the Lord first, huh? Yeah. They're nuts. That's not the way the world works. That's not the way the world. The world says, I want mine first. Take care of me. He also said this, Jesus, I have loved you even as the Father has loved me. Remain in my love. When you obey my commandments, you remain in my love, just as I obey my Father's commandments and remain in his love. I've told you these things so that you will be filled with joy. Yes, your joy will overflow. This is my commandment. Love each other in the same way I loved you. There is no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friend. When you say you love somebody, would you give up your life for them? You say, oh, I love my wife. I'd lay down my life for my wife. I'd do it in a heartbeat. Wife might say the same thing to the husband. Surely she would. But when you say you love your brother in Christ, maybe he's not a brother yet. Maybe he's someone that's lost his way. Maybe he's someone that doesn't know the Lord at all. Maybe he's wandering out there on that lost highway that I sang about earlier. Doesn't know Jesus, doesn't know love. Would you lay down your life for him? That's tough, ain't it? That's a tough thing to do. But that's what the scripture is talking about. Because if you're only willing to give your life for someone you love, someone you know, what good is that? We got soldiers out there right now that are laying down their lives for a lot of y'all they don't know. But they're doing it. You know, we say we love Jesus. We say we love each other. But really, what does love mean to you this morning? If you see someone out there that needs a helping hand, are you helping them? Or do you drive by? Just yesterday, I was going down the road, and I saw a lady pull over. And I thought to myself, well, if she broke down, maybe I need to stop and help her. So I said, Lord, should I pull over? That was a stupid question. I already knew the answer. So I said, okay, I'm going to pull over. I knew what the message was on today. I've known. So I said, well, put your words into action. I pulled over, and she goes, yeah, you see that right there? You almost run into that cow. I said, what cow? I looked up. There was a cow on the side of the road. She is worried about that cow, so she pulled over. And I stopped. There wasn't a cow in the road. He was in the ditch, you know. But as I said, well, God bless you. I hope you have a good day. Yeah. Thanks. She didn't thank me. But as I got into my truck, I never turned it off. I just got in and started pulling away. Automatically, my old nature said, well, that mean heifer. I said, here, I took my, I was, I don't have a whole lot of time, but I took the time to stop and pull over and to help her, and that ungrateful heifer, she didn't appreciate it at all. I said, "Isn't that right, Lord?" I tell you, the Lord is quick to answer me when I say something stupid. He reminded me right quick, "Well, do you love her? Why did you pull over? What made you pull over in the first place? Was it so you'd be somebody go, ah, good boy, did you see that guy? The preacher pulled over." I got to thinking, you know what? That is probably it. I didn't look around to see if there was anybody looking. But see how easy it is, y'all? Even when you think you're doing good, the devil tries to rob the joy out of the moment. My old nature kicked in. So none of us are perfect, are we? But what I had to do is I had to confess right there my sin. I had to confess that I pulled over for the wrong motive. I pulled over for the wrong reason. When you help somebody, me and my wife had this discussion today. When you help somebody and they don't, you say you give them a gift, and they don't even say thank you. What's your first inclination? What's the first thing you as your old self wants to do? Well, that old biddy, she didn't even say thank you for that gift I gave her. Is that the reason that you gave it to her? Was so she'd be appreciate and love you and pat you on the back? Or did you do it for the Lord? Christmas season is coming, y'all. Everybody wants a gift, right? Everybody wants something. But why are you giving it? What's the greatest gift that you can give somebody this Christmas? Love. That's right. Love. To love them more than you love yourself. Woo! Man, what a gift. That's something you can't wash off. That's something that don't wear out. That's something that don't get faded in the sun and break like plastic. Love is the greatest thing that you can give to people that are around you. So this question I asked again this morning, what motivates you to get up in the morning? Is it so you can go out and find somebody to love? Or is it to go out and make a buck like I did? Let's pray. Woo, Lord. I just thank you for all that are here in this old barn. Lord, I just pray, Father, that the words that you have spoken will not go on deaf ears. I pray, Father, that I will hear my own words that you've given, that it would cause a change in my heart, the way that I see things and what motivates me. I pray that we would all be motivated, Lord, to love each other, and that be the reason, Father, that we get up in the morning so we have an opportunity to go share the gospel with someone in love. Just be an encouragement to someone who needs encouragement. Lord, to feed someone that needs food. Father, to help someone that needs help. But I pray we do it in love. I pray we look for that as you show us and lead it. Lead us to the moment. Father, I pray that it's etched in our mind that there's no greater love than to lay down your life for someone else, for a friend. I pray, Father, that we start loving that way. In Jesus' name we pray, and for his sake, amen. If you're here this morning, I want to say welcome to Common Ground Cowboy Church. If this is your first time, we want to say welcome. We're glad to have you. If you're looking for a church home, I pray you consider not this building. It's pretty, ain't it? But this building can't do a darn thing for you. I'm sorry. It can't. It can get cold in here in the wintertime, and it can get hot in here in the summer. without air conditioning. But the difference in this place is y'all, the ones that are sitting in the chairs around here. Y'all are what makes this place special. You're the ones that makes Common Ground Cowboy Church. That's y'all. That's what makes this place special. If you don't know the person that's sitting next to you, or you know, see them across the room, don't leave before you encourage them to come back and thank them for being here and tell them that you love them. Wherever God sends you this week, I pray that he protects you and keeps you safe and brings you back. God bless you.